This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And it is now Wednesday morning, and the convention season, for me at least, is now about to get officially underway as soon as I bite into this donut. Yes, I'm at Hobby Airport in Houston, Texas, getting ready to head to Buffalo, New York, and then on over to Batavia, where we'll be having the 46th annual Fechter's Finger Flicking Frolic. And this year we'll be having the guests of honors as the Fat Brothers, so that'll be kind of some fun. But I said, first, one of the things, of course, we got to do is bite into a donut. I got to stop by Dunkin' Donuts here and get some coffee and a donut, and then going to be awaiting my flight on Southwest Airlines again and winging my way over to Buffalo. But one of the reasons, too, I want to have the donut is because one of the things that happens at Fechter's every year, of course, is that the magic goes not only all day but all night. I mean, at about 10 or 11 o'clock at night, they bring out the donuts and coffee and the hospitality suite, and they have dozens and dozens of donuts. And so I got to expand my stomach, get it ready to accept more donuts over the next few days. So that'll be kind of fun, and looking forward to running into a lot of friends and to having some enjoyable chats. While I was at the Dunkin' Donut shop over here, who should I see but someone who I met some years ago, Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, and his wife, Gilligan. I had met them one time so many years ago in Las Vegas that we were I was with Banachek, and we were doing a shoot with Chris Angel in the guitar shop, and Billy was there, and they had done a shoot with him. And anyhow, while they had some time, I got a chance, while they were busy, that is Chris and Billy Gibbons were busy, that I got a chance to talk with Gilligan a bit. Fascinating and a lovely lady, and so got to say hello to them this morning. Didn't think it appropriate necessarily to interrupt them too much for their breakfast and to grab a chat, but anyhow, if I see them again, perhaps I might. I don't want to interrupt their breakfast. So, anyhow, kind of cool. You never know who you're going to meet. Of course, ZZ Top are locally known as the hometown boys, since they're from the Houston area here. Get to see them every once in a while. I ran into him a while back, actually, at the Apple store here in town. Well, they're getting ready to board soon, but not for mine. I've still got about an hour before I start to board. Which gives me time to enjoy this lovely donut. I should say, both the donuts. Okay, what am I having? I'm having a chocolate and a Boston cream and a regular cup of coffee. If I wasn't having the regular cup of coffee, or rather, if I wasn't having the donuts, I'd have a hazelnut latte. So, just so you know. And speaking of that, by the way, you know, for just the cost of a hazelnut latte each month, that you could spend that same amount of money and be a friend of the Magic Word. Yeah, I can't miss an opportunity to pitch that. So just for a couple bucks a month, that you can have an ongoing financial relationship with the Magic Word by giving generously with, again, something equal to or less than a cup of coffee. And you can enjoy that with me as we go off to conventions and you listen to these podcasts each week. Thank you for your support, and thanks for listening, and I'll see you in New York. Well, I should say, I'll be talking to you, and you'll be listening to me from New York very soon. So later. This is Scotty out. So, we've landed in Buffalo, all the way from Houston through Chicago. And in Houston, I came along with Frank Price and Rick Hebert and Gene Protas. And then once I arrived in Chicago, picked up Don Weiberg. And right now, I've got with me, first time forever, Lion Flood. Hey, Lion.
Hey, how's it going? It's
fantastic. Now, we talked before. Was it a Magic Live, or where was that?
It was in Jacksonville.
That's right, the IBM convention last year. Right. Now, at that time, it seems like you were working in a theater doing a show or something.
It's still going.
How's that going?
It's going great. It's actually in Las Vegas.
Tell us more about it.
So, it's something I picked up very quickly. It's a small little 50-seat theater, great location down on Fremont Street. So, I get the tourists and I get the locals down there, the mixture. So, it's really great.
Mm-hmm. And now how big of a theater then is it?
It's about 50 seats, but what's great about it is I also have some restaurants down there for me, so it's down in like the art district, so
yeah.
It's just a unique feel to it, so people who are visiting, they can go see some of the arts down there, plus they can come see my show, and then also right now I'm in talks with, I can't say it right now until it finally gets done, but I'm going to be hopefully opening for one of the acts on the strip here pretty soon.
Just keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Right.
So
doing a stage, and is that going to be a much larger, obviously much
oh,
larger?
Oh, yeah. It's a major act that's been there for many years now. And I'll be probably doing about maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And
manipulation, linking ring, or what are you
doing? You know, it's just going to probably be some little comedy things, egg bags, cards across, just something to fill the time in, because the producer was like, hey, you know, there's dead time when people come in before the act finally comes on.
Right.
And I actually, how I got into that realm is I was booked to do a gig, and as I was performing, and I've got video from it, someone famous walks in behind me, and he looks over my shoulder, and he said, hey, what are you doing? I did a double take, and I looked back. It was David Copperfield. So he walked into my show where I was at, and I was like, oh my goodness. So I got my phone out. I told some people if they could film me doing this for him. And then Wayne Newton came in as well. So I was like, oh my goodness, this is like a dream.
Yeah.
So, and Vegas has been picking up for me really well. Next month I'm booked to do a show for a celebrity gig out there with Alan Thicke. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, Alan Thicke show.
Yes. And then a couple of Hall of Famers, the governor's coming. So Vegas has been really good to me.
Now, if people want to get tickets or something, how do they go about finding it?
They can go to my website. It's LionsMagic, LionsMagic.com. All my listings are there for my shows. The tickets are there as well. Whenever they come into town, I get a lot of family members or friends who come in to visit Vegas, and they're like, hey, we want to see your show. And they can definitely come in there.
Well, of course, Magic Live is going to be here in August. I imagine you're going to have a flood, no pun intended, of people who are going to be wanting to come and see your show while they're there for a day or two.
I would absolutely love that. Now, this is cause just like I was talking to my girlfriend last night, and I was telling her, for whatever reason, this is the most nervous I've ever been, but in a good way, to come to 4F now and to perform in front of, you know, all of these big timers.
Well, that's why I really wanted to talk with you about, since this is your first time, and again, here we are walking through the lobby on our way to the baggage claim, and so we're still a ways away from the hotel and all this, and so tell me about some of your thoughts and expectations, and what do you hope for?
Well, first off, I just hope that I don't bomb. My sponsors, they're on the line here.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
But I guess for me, I just expect the camaraderie, because I've heard this is totally different than
completely,
you know, any other kind of convention.
Right.
And so forth. So I just want to get to meet people, learn people from all across the country and the world. But I don't know. I didn't want to come in with too much expectations because I didn't want to be too high or too low. But the nerves are settling in now. But I think I'll do okay.
They told you about how long you're supposed to go? 8 minutes or something? Or?
Yes, and I think the one thing I kept getting stressed, I talked to a few people who've been there over and over, is don't go over
on
time.
Do not go over.
So
you don't want to get the hook.
Yes. So I said, oh, I will make sure I cut it. I would cut it short. So, yeah.
Yeah. You got to hit them strong and hard and out.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. So, and I didn't want to come in trying to think about, you know, hey, let me try to fool anyone or something like that, because, you know, these guys have been doing this for many, many, many moons. So I just want to have fun.
Yeah. You've got the right attitude, certainly, going about it, because I've seen Roger Clough stand up there and fumble his bill switch.
Oh.
You mean, you wouldn't think that he was going to.
Right.
It's like, wow. And even... I've seen some of the seasoned pros who have been a little bit nervous or had some issues or problems, and the nerves have gotten the better of them.
Right.
And myself included. And I remember I was doing it, and Paul Daniels was in the front row, and that he just said, start over again. You know, he said, relax, you know, take a breath.
Yeah.
And that was good advice. But Yeah, I remember one guy coming up one year, and he kind of sat there for me and said, I've got your videotapes, I've got all your DVDs, I've got your books, you know, I've read all, I've attended your lectures, I've seen your shows, you know, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Right.
They can get to be a little intimidating. Now, saying that, don't be intimidated. You're going to do just fine.
Oh, yeah. I think I'll be okay, you know, except my girlfriend, she was kind of reassuring me. She's like, babe, you performed this place, China.
Sure.
I've been in front of millions of people, and I was performed on ESPN at a halftime basketball show. So, it's different now, you know, performing in front of your colleagues and so forth. So,
yep.
I said, I think I'd definitely be ready now, even though I'm performing in front of, you know, the big-time colleagues.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll be good to go.
You'll be fine. And then after you're finished, then you'll get your bachelor's degree, and then you can relax. Because
yeah,
by that time, you're finished, and then you, it's kind of like you can take a breath and relax. You can sleep, you know.
Yeah.
Have a drink.
and another just tidbit, so, because my initial thing, what I was going to do, I found out who I was going after, Carl Hine, and Carl is very famous for his Rubik's Cubes and so forth, and
right,
I was initially going to do my Rubik's Cube act.
Yeah, you got a good Rubik's Cube, yeah.
So, I said, okay, I'm changing that up then, because I'm not going to go do the same type of thing,
sure,
even though it's a different act,
yes,
behind him.
Yeah.
So I think what I'm going to do is, I love adding comedy into it, so whenever he's finished performing, I think I'm going to come out right behind him, pull out my cube, and then say, well, there goes that. You know, everyone's seen him. So just add a little levity.
That is funny. Yeah, Paul, have you seen that already? Okay, we're not going to do that one.
Yeah.
That'd be a funny thing. But deck of cards, seen the cards? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that would be a good one, too.
Yeah.
I remember I used to say, when I used to compete, I used to come out, my opening line was, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do something never seen before, something that's going to truly amaze you all. I'm going to perform a close-up act without a deck of cards. And everyone would laugh.
Yeah.
Because most close-up acts, you see 10 performers, cards, you know.
Yeah.
So they just started laughing because it's like, yeah, we'll get away from the norm.
Well, after your show is over, we'll chat again and just kind of get your feeling and how you think everything went.
Oh, absolutely.
So great.
Thank you.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Lion Flood. This is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we have arrived at the Clarion Hotel, the guest host hotel for the 4F, and this is the 46th annual Fector's Finger Flicking Frolic. I'm here with the head forker, Obie O'Brien. Hi, Obie.
How you doing, Scotty?
Fantastic. Tell everybody why you're called the head forker. You should probably explain that for those who...
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because the Forks Hotel, when we founded the 4F convention, the Forks Hotel was called, you know, it was where Eddie and I started it.
Mm-hmm.
And they all said, okay, you come from the Forks, you must be the head forker.
And so, so there you go.
That's how it was got to...
And we kept it there for, what, 29 years or something?
We were 21 years at the there, I think, and then 3 years at a
Abbott Brew House,
mm-hmm. Abbott Square Brew House. Yeah.
In Buffalo.
Yeah, and we've been here, I think, 22 years.
Has it been that long, here in Batavia?
Yeah.
Okay. And I understand they're changing ownership of the hotel again, or some...
It's not changing ownership. It's just going to change the name of the hotel.
The name of the hotel, okay.
It's going to be a Quality Inn.
And will they continue to have the water park as part of this?
Oh, yes, yes. Okay. Nothing's changed. The whole thing was that what happened is they said that the Clarion... When he signed up to be the Clarion, they had 190 units.
Mm-hmm.
And they told him they're going to increase it across the United States into the 200s, maybe up to 300.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden now they're down to 150.
Oh.
So he just said, hey, wait a minute, we're going the other way around.
Yeah.
We're going down. And the Quality Inn has 1,300 hotels in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he says, okay, we're going to go to Quality Inn.
So I see.
And
so
he would have gone a week or two before, but he says, I'll wait till after 4F.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen on Tuesday after 4F.
After we're finished with our convention.
Yep.
So you still got the great relationship with the guys, so we'll be here again next year and
yep.
foreseeable future. Well, speaking of this year, tell me about some of the exciting things that are happening, or who we've got, how many different countries are being represented.
Well, we have 22 different countries, and we've got some great FISM champions.
Mm-hmm.
Got the guy that won the cards this year in close-up. We have a guy who won, he was the world, the Grand Prix champion for FISM Asia, and the close-up he was there for stage, and we have the Grand Prix Magic Brothers from Korea that won the Grand Prix for FISM Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So those people are on Saturday night. And we have quite a few others. We have an Asian gala with guys coming from Japan and one from China and the rest of them from Hong Kong or...
Yeah, there are different kinds of galas, and so each of the shows, you've got a different theme. So there's going to be like an English show and Italian.
Tonight is a Canadian show, Canadian gala instead of a show.
Yeah.
Then they have a British gala, and we also have an Italian gala, and then we have an Asian gala. So there's four different galas this year.
Yeah. Now, how many new people have come this year who are going to be performing for their first time?
31.
Okay. Quite a few people.
Yep.
And so overall, how many performers have you got? Approximately, I already know.
Well, I know the performers, but you're asking number of people that attend the convention?
No, number of people who will be performing, number of performers. Because I know not all of us are doing stuff.
There will probably be about...
100?
No, it's 70, maybe 73, 74.
Okay. Still a lot of people.
Oh, I know.
In top quality, and they're doing the best of the best. Everybody's got just about 5 to 7 minutes to perform.
Oh.
I almost threw that in the trash.
Holy mackerel. Yeah, you're right. What was the question you asked right there?
I was saying that everyone has about 5 to 7 minutes, so that's just a
lot. All the new people, okay, that I don't know or haven't seen have only got a maximum of 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody who has won a contest, okay, like a FISM contest or the IBM contest or the SEM contest or... Blackpool contest or Macmillan's in England, something like that.
It's a major convention.
They can do their FISM act or the contest act.
Which could be 12 minutes?
No, 10 minutes.
Okay.
10 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So this year the Fat Brothers are the guys who are being honored as guest of honor.
Correct.
The last time I remember we had more than one guest of honor was when we had Gene Anderson and
That's right.
Oh, so this is the only other time we've had, three.
That's right. This will be the second time that we've had multiple guests of honor.
Mm-hmm. One last question before I move on, and that is just for people who might want to attend. I know this is a very prestigious convention around the world. People want to get in, and they're always asking us, and so... You want to explain?
Yeah, well, it's by invitation only because...
limitation of size.
Exactly, that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people want to just come and look, and it's not for lookers, it's for guys that are interested in close-up. Well, it's really not close-up anymore, it's parlor.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say some of it's close-up and the rest of it is parlor. And so the reason that we have is by invitation. You have to send in a video or a DVD, what you would do, and we put it to our team, and the team looks at it and says, well, then this guy qualifies, then he would get an invitation.
And then to get an invitation...
You've got to have two sponsors.
Two sponsors, that's
correct.
Right. Who have attended before and then are speaking on their behalf, and you actually have to send an email or a physical letter to you.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And then that person needs to send a letter requesting he wants to come.
Correct.
Or she.
That's correct. Yeah, and some guys say, well, I'd like to invite this guy. Well, tell the guy to send me an email, tell him to send me a letter, and say, okay, I'm interested. And then you send me in a DVD or a Vimeo, and my committee will look at it and then see whether you're eligible to come.
But sometimes people forget to send you an email or so. I mean, they expect that they're going to get an invitation.
I'm going to chase them.
Yeah, and that's not the case.
No, it's the other way around.
Yeah, if you want to come, you need to send an email or a letter.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I'll talk with you more closer to the end to kind of see how things are going, but I know right now that you got everything in motion. And
did you just get here?
I did, yeah. I'm just getting ready to go to dinner here shortly. So.
Have you seen the room yet?
I haven't. Is it different?
Oh, it's unreal. It's the best we've ever had.
Oh, really? I'm anxious to take a look.
You just better go and have a look right now.
Maybe I should before that everybody gets filled. Okay.
Yes.
Well, thanks very much. For the Magic Word Podcast in Batavia, that was Obie O'Brien. This is Scotty out. All right. Well, we just had dinner and rushed back just in time to see the Canadian Gala this evening, hosted by Joan Caesar. And I've got with me fellow commentator doing color, Jeff Williams.
Hi there.
So, good show here tonight.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. Such variety. It was great.
A lot of variety, and not one card manipulator amongst them, now that I think about
no,
that.
No, not at all.
Or billiard ball manipulator. That was one of the things Obi was talking about earlier. It seems like we've gone from close-up to parlor, you know. And so some of these guys are doing some parlor stuff. But I liked it all, but, you know, Hayashi, I thought, had something that was kind of an emotional kind of a piece of drama, you know, that was recorded music and all that. I thought it was pretty cool. And then, you know, doing Matrix routine and whatnot.
I agree. I think the comedy was extremely strong, and I think everything that they did could have easily been done close up, and so it was still a really strong close up show.
Yeah. Yep. No, there's no question. I mean, it could have been done in an intimate surrounding as opposed to the 200 people that it was presented for here this evening, of course. But, yeah, what was announced? I mean, they were all good. What was something that was outstanding that comes immediately to mind, though?
Well, David Mary, he's always been one of my favorites, and I've actually not gotten to see him work live. And this was exciting.
Yeah.
He's dynamic. He's polished. And he goes off the cuff. You never know what he's going to say. You can tell that he's a seasoned performer, and
sure,
I totally enjoyed just watching him work. It was phenomenal.
Well, being a comedian doing comedy magic yourself, I'm sure you can appreciate that.
Exactly. I so keyed in on it, and, you know, it got to the point where I didn't really care if he found any numbers, you know, correct or whatever what he was doing.
Yeah.
It was the ride was what it was all about, and it's that Mullica thing, you know, you don't care. It was the journey was the reward.
Yeah, it kind of felt like that he was actually, of course, riffing off of the audience, you know, then a little bit then too, from the standpoint that obviously he's been a comedian and doing something from, you know, a comedy act in a comedy club, but they weren't all necessarily things that were from his routine, because I felt like he was kind of acting what seemed to be improvisational almost on some of this.
Oh, exactly.
Stuff,
yeah. And Bill Abbott, again, was a standout performer.
Yeah.
Also, his comedy is very strong. His magic is very strong.
Yeah.
Honestly, there weren't really any weak spots in the show that I saw. It was enjoyable from start to finish.
Yeah, you don't want to leave out the closing act, you know, then of Mike Robinson and Terrence, you know, doing event act. Of course, that was spot on. It's always event always gives something. It's a variety act always kills.
Well, it was brilliant. And he got a standing ovation, and it was deserved.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Overall, very good show, and so a good way to kick off the show. And then next we're going to be having then a lecture by Michelle. I'm going to mess up their names. Michelle and Yannick would be the best way to say.
Yep. Two of our Canadian performers.
That's right. And just on the cover of the Leaking Ring.
They were brilliant tonight. So this is really starting to be a stellar 4F. I can't wait to see what else is coming down the pike here.
Well, we'll be talking to you more and get some more commentary as we go into the other shows. Thanks very much.
Well, my pleasure.
For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Jeff Williams. This is Scotty out. Okay, let me have a little addendum then also, because I got Chris Pillsworth, who was on the show this evening, then along with Keith Fields, who is here. Then, hey guys.
Hey.
So you were just saying, talking about how this.
Yeah, I was just saying,
in this
convention, we get involved in the minutiae of magic, in the details that so many people skip over, but it gets really down to the subtleties that are beyond subtle sometimes. You know what I mean?
All the things we're dealing with are every single moment throughout the routine, whether it's blocking or whether it's scripting or whether it's the actions or whether it's the premise.
Facial expressions.
Everything. So that you know that every moment counts with the routines that you're doing, and that's where we can talk to professionals on that level, and they understand what we're talking about, and they have suggestions and ideas how to keep polishing and improving.
Excited about the littlest detail. That's the bit that I was missing,
right.
And it might be just a glance or a look or something.
That's a very good point that you guys are saying, because I'm thinking like at some other general conventions where they have a lecture, it's kind of like, okay, what's the newest way to do a double lift necessarily? But this is even more detailed than than that.
I think
because it has a lot to do. You know, we're talking around like Jeff. You know, just telling jokes, and sometimes it may not be a deck of cards brought out, but it may be just talking about walking onto stage. What's the best way to doing this or that? You know, it's the minutiae.
One of my favorite descriptions was actually comes from golf. I think it was Tiger Woods being interviewed, and he said the difference between an amateur golfer and a professional golfer is an amateur golfer is thinking about everything as he's making his.
Sure.
He's thinking about how his weight grip, on his legs and his grip and his head and his shoulders and everything else. So he's thinking about every little detail. But a professional golfer is thinking about absolutely nothing. He's just letting his body mechanics take over and do the swing. And I think we talk it through on such a deep level. So we get to the point when we don't have to think about it we actually do it. We're just going with the flow.
What that means is that means that you can shift your focus from internal thinking about what you're doing to reading your audience as the performance is happening. So you put the focus exactly where it's supposed to be, which is on your audience and paying attention to each and every person in the audience to make sure that you're staying connected with them and to make sure that it's relevant and to try and pull people back in who maybe are tuning out a little bit somehow. Yeah. You can shift your focus so that you're just concentrating on what's most important for the success of the show.
And this is day one.
Yeah,
we're already at this level.
when you're going on a roller coaster, you're taking your audience on a roller coaster, and they're kind of going up and down. And do you ever adjust your show? I mean, where you feel like that you might need to throw something out or put something into? I mean, as far as reading your audience,
my heads and tails are usually the same. So the way it opens and the way it closes, those are the things that I need to set beforehand. The middle section of the show can vary. I can have a decent guess at what I think will be appropriate for that particular audience. But as the show is proceeding, I bring more than I need, so that gives me the opportunity to pick and choose if I need to modify towards something that I think would be more appropriate for that particular audience at that particular time.
But yours seems more structured. I mean, whereas Keith is going to be, and Jeff also, when you guys are doing comedy, it seems like that there's a lot of things in reading the audience and saying, okay, that joke hit, I can do some more on that and whatever. So
I wonder if you'd agree with this as well, though. If you're like me, I've got many different ways of doing the same routine, which to a person who's watching it and only seen it two or three times wouldn't actually, they might think I've done the same thing three times.
Yeah.
But the actual route through, the stitching in the garment of the show may be different, because I can take little subtle different routes and I can go off this direction or that direction, and sometimes it's very subtle, but it's what I need to do, as you say, to bring a particular group in or to calm the audience down because they're too leery, or to bring them up because they aren't leery enough.
Right.
And we have all that sort of built into the routine, and they're the choices that we're making all the way through.
One of the minor things also, it's not so minor for you, but you brought your own thing to stand on, which I thought was a brilliant idea. I'm seated further in the back. I could see so much better when you were on that little stool you brought with you, Chris.
I started using that little podium on the street because it meant that you could get a greater group of people to be able to see you if you're just
like a trade show,
taller.
You know.
Exactly, and when I brought it, not the first year, but the second year, because I was noting if I'm in the back of any of the tiers, that I have difficulty seeing the person, so an extra foot can make a big difference. And if they can't see you or they can't hear you, then you might as well finish the show, because those are the two essential things the audience needs in order to have a good show.
You know, one of the things I did similar to that several years ago was I bought a thing from a lumber store like Home Depot or something. It's one of those little aluminum tables, kind of like that painters would have.
Painters, yeah.
But it's only like about 2 feet tall. But it's about 3 feet wide, so you can kind of walk back and forth, and I can actually bring up a volunteer. They can stand beside me, and they're elevated also.
Yeah.
And then I put some stuff on the top of it, you know, that keep your feet from slipping, you know, just kind of, you know.
There's many times in just like regular shows where you don't have enough space to put in a big stage, or they don't have a big stage, but if you bring that little box, that just puts me up, and it means that I don't get the people at the back zoning out because they
can't
see.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
and those are the people that are always going to be tuning out first, is the people furthest back. So
the people who can't quite see or can't quite hear.
Can't tip a bigger crowd.
Yeah, and that's usually the back end, and so if you can keep them engaged. Even sometimes pulling a volunteer from the very back is a good strategy, because now all the people that know them at the back are now refocused back on the front again, and that helps to hold that back edge in as well.
But that's attention to detail.
Yeah.
That's a pro.
We should be thinking about the fact that the bar is open and there's free beer.
Oh, we need to go for that. And donuts, don't forget that. Yeah. Okay, we're going to lock out over here. Jeff Williams, Chris Pillsworth, Keith Thiels, thanks again.
It's a pleasure.
For the Magic Word Podcast. Yep, Scotty. And now it's time for the trick reviews of the week. This time we're going to cover four separate DVD downloads that are not professionally shot, but in fact look very amateurish from the standpoint that they look like they might have been shot in their living room or kitchen or someplace. And they're also by foreign magicians. In one case, there is no sound at all other than music, and the information that you need as far as the deck setup and everything is actually written out. So you need to pause it in order to jot down or to know exactly what you're going to do with the instructions. And in fact, let me start with that very video, which I think was fantastic. It fooled the heck out of me, called Double ACAN by Creative Artists. ACAN is the acronym A-C-A-A-N for any card at any number. I've been performing this effect for a long time, and I know there are several different methods, and I've used many of them. This one is one I probably will use also. It does require a set deck, which is the downside of this, but the effect is tremendous. Essentially, you have two people each select a playing card, and then you just count down to a certain number, and there's one person's card, and then you shuffle the deck, and then you give the cards to another spectator. They shuffle the deck also, and when they do, then they will add their number to another one, count down, and there's their card. It takes a long time to try to describe that. I know that Divernon says, of course, that that's confusion is not magic, and it does seem to be kind of confusing because it's hard to explain that in one sentence, unless you were just to say two cards are selected and then found by counting down to a random number. Maybe that's the best way of doing it, and it was pretty darn good. So I would highly recommend the Double ACAN by Creative Artists. Also, the same fella had put out another trick called Transcend, again by Creative Artists, and this is pretty cool, in which that you have essentially, you will show four cards. I believe in this case he was freely showing four different kings from the deck, and then they essentially one at a time changed to nines, and then the cards that he had already set beside him, when he turned those over, they were now the kings. It is a little bit of a difficult effect to do. I would say this is definitely for the intermediate to perhaps expert card person. I would say also, though, in this particular case, that all of the instructions on the moves themselves are explained at the end of the video. Just in with the Double ACAN, that they do explain the moves that are necessary towards the end. And they have good explanation as far as over the shoulder and from the performer's standpoint as well as from the spectator's viewpoint. And it's well explained, and in both of those cases that there is no English nor any kind of verbal explanation. It's all written in English on the screen. So again, you'll have to pause the screen in order to get all the details that you need. Again, that was called Transcend by Creative Artists. The next DVD download is called Fusion by Solo. This is a pretty cool move, and I really can't explain it here, and I can't anyhow, because you have to buy the video in order to learn the move. But I haven't seen this move before, but it's awfully darn clever, and he explains several different ways about how that you can utilize this move with a coin vanish, which is what it was intended to be, or that you can then have a coin exchange. Let's say you can exchange it for a bent coin or for a coin of a different color. And this is something that can be done anytime, anywhere with any coin. Doesn't really matter whether it's a euro or an American coin or whatever. I suspect that the larger the coin, perhaps it might make a little bit of difference. But this is a very clean handling in which that you show the coin quite cleanly at your fingertips, and as you place it in your hand, you then show one hand empty, and you open the hand that supposedly has the coin, and it again is completely gone. This was really a revolutionary method. Perhaps it may be out there, but I have not seen this before, and I had lunch with some knowledgeable magicians and had shown them, and they had not seen that move either. So I would say this move, Fusion by Solo, is one that I would recommend. And let me also say that he gives some other ideas in which that the coin would actually appear on the card, so it seems to fuse to the card. So in other words, that you can not only vanish a coin or change a coin for another, but also you can change a coin for a card that has the coin look like it's embedded on it. It's, again, a pretty cool thing, and I'd recommend it. Again, the trick's name is Fusion by Solo. The final DVD download is called Post-it Mysteries by Miss Bliss. Or Miss Bliss? Not exactly sure. He doesn't really pronounce his name or say his name during the video, but it looks again like he's sitting at a kitchen table or something when he does this. And the idea is using post-it notes and a deck of cards. I certainly like the idea of having something that is going to be fairly impromptu. And if you have a deck of cards and you're at an office or someplace where there are some post-it notes, that you could use these post-it notes in a fairly impromptu type of fashion. And he also, on the first trick that he explains, introduces another technique for disguising the inside of a box to show it empty, and then later showing when you open it up that you pull out a prediction, which apparently that the post-it note had moved from the deck of cards over to inside of the card box. I hadn't seen this idea before, but it was kind of a clever idea that has some applications for some other kinds of things if you just kind of put your noodle to it. And then he also has, some ideas that you can use post-it notes and some predictions that would end up on the playing card or a blank card and different kinds of things. Of the four DVD downloads that I'm reviewing here this week, I'd probably say this is about the weakest, but it's something that is not bad. I would say this is in the okay category. Again, that's called Post-it Mysteries by Miss Bless. That's MSBLESS, Miss Bless. So that's a wrap for these tricks for this week, and you can get these from your Murphy's Magic Supplies dealer at the brick-and-mortar shop where you frequent in your town, or the online store. I suggest that you can help the Magic Word Podcast if you will purchase any of these or others through our Magic Store. If you'll just go to the tab there on themagicwordpodcast.com, click on that, you'll see those tricks, and you can download these almost immediately. And if it is something that requires delivery, we usually have about 3 to 4 day delivery on that as well. So, again, please help the Magic Word Podcast through not only your donations, but also through your purchases of these tricks and others at the Magic Store.